I'll pick that one up and go. Have given on to God. This is your wife for the reference to everyone who's here. Thank God for this occasion. This is when we expand and we grow. Because we're at the church and the pastors, and this is our growth. I thank God for the Church of the Living God. I thank God for the many people that I've had during the years behind me. My great teacher, Bishop White, and my great mentor, Bishop Lee. And I'll encourage all the year-old pastors because he gave some apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. And one of my greatest lessons in being a pastor was taught by Bishop Lee a long time ago. One of the greatest pastors in the Bible is Moses. Aside from Jesus Christ, who was absolutely the greatest, is Moses. And if you want to see the ups and downs, the trials and successes and the power, see people follow you and not follow you, do everything else they do and turn sideways and everything else, else, read Moses. If you want to see how God will come along and guarantee you and promise you and stand with you and watch you go through, see Moses. And if you want to see the power of the Holy Spirit both for you and against you when you are wrong, read Moses. Because God told him at one point, he said, I'm going to send my angel before you, referring to the Holy Spirit. And he said, you need to obey him. And some will say Bishop Butler, that he was referring to Jesus. But he's referring to the Holy Ghost, and I'll tell you why. Because Jesus has grace and mercy. And the Lord told Moses, he said, the one I'm going to send before you, he has no mercy, he has justice. Yes. That means he's going to do exactly, he's going to call it just like he sees it. And if you don't obey him, the power of life and death is in him. So I thank God for his goodness and his mercy, and I encourage you to do that. I thank God for the Church of the Living God, which is a portion of the glorious church that is in Christ Jesus. That he's coming back for. We are the Church of the Living God International. And all the local churches and jurisdictions we are someone that God uses and calls and ordains to prepare the glorious church. And Bishop Johnson said it last night, the church is not our buildings, not our land, not our acreage, not our air conditioners, our seats, not our lights. It's the people. We make up the church. I think the Church of God says it in one way on all their signs. They say the Church of God meets here. So in our worship centers and places and our sanctuaries, we refer to them as churches, and that's okay. It's the church house. Older people used to call it the church house. But we are the church. And I'm going on with my message, but I'll warn you about this too. When it says in there that he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle in his sustain to present to himself a glorious church. And you need to know, we all need to know, that's not a package deal. When he comes back for a church without spot or without wrinkle, he's coming back for all those who have allowed the leadership and who have allowed the Word of God. They have received it, have taken it to heart, and have believed it, have allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ, have repented, have our names are written on high in the Lamb's Book of Life. We make up the glorious church of all the churches and denominations that believe in Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, his sending of the Holy Ghost, filling and baptism of the Holy Ghost. We make up a portion of the glorious church that's in Christ Jesus. And when Christ comes back, he's going to receive that glorious church to him without spot or wrinkle or any such thing that he might present to himself a glorious church. And it isn't that this church or any church has spots and wrinkles that keep the church itself from going up. It means that when we go up in Christ, if you're a wrinkle, you stay.
Yeah, yes, yes. That's right.
And if you're a spot, you stay.
Yes.
So that when we get on the cloud, we can present a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle, and spots and wrinkles will still be sitting in these seats.
Amen. That's right.
So you don't want to be a spot, as Peter says later on. Spots they are.
Yes.
You don't want to be a wrinkle. You want to be someone that God is pleased with. So I thank God for the pastor today. Jeremiah said, I'll give them pastors wisdom and understanding. I want to look at two scriptures today. I want to say to Elder Baker, you know, I know you and I serve the same God, because you sure did sing the right song this morning.
Amen.
Because I want to look at two scriptures. I want to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I also want to look at Acts 26. And I will be as quick as the Holy Ghost will let me. But 2 Corinthians, the core chapter, first of all, to the pastors, and I'm going to you know, when I get in front of people, my Bible acts like it doesn't even have certain books. That's why it's full of stuff. Because I try to stick something every place I'm supposed to be, so that I can find it quickly and not here all day long. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I cheat. I keep a Bible in front of me because I believe in the Word of God. I like to think I'm good at it. But when I'm up at night and I'm teaching, I don't see people in my iPad. So you know why? It's like this goes through science. So. And I don't keep people going and say, well, is he trusting? No, I trust the Word of God, King James Version. But I also read, you know, for understanding, and I get clarity. And I believe in the Word of God, but I do. Sometimes I can't find it otherwise. So I'm getting older, so I use technology. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry refers to the, as Paul refers to it, it refers to the gospel of Jesus Christ as being God's only begotten Son, not a prophet, not just a powerful preacher, but God's only begotten Son, being the only begotten Son of the Father. And that's absolutely necessary because we needed to have a sacrifice who had no sin in him. The only way we could do that is have him be the Son of God. Therefore, having this ministry of all the churches in the world and all their gospels, I have a cousin who was explaining to me, she went into Islam, she has come back to Christianity, but she was explaining to me how close the Quran and the Bible are. And when she finished, I didn't argue with her because I don't argue with people over different. I simply say if your religion is different from mine, we just don't have the same God.
Yes, yes, that's right.
And then you have to go to whatever eternity your God has.
Yes.
We have to go round and round on that. And so I simply said to her, the only thing I know is that you probably read. I've never even had my hands on the Quran. I was saying, but you more versed in that than I am. Maybe you might have even read your Bible more than me. But the one thing I do know is we have a. Our gospel has a Savior.
Yes.
And our gospel sets free from sin.
Yes.
Our gospel has power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Our gospel has eternal life.
Yes.
That's what our gospel has.
Yes.
And then you have to make up your mind whether you want that or not.
Yes.
But I thank God for His goodness. And He said, seeing that we have this ministry, and at the time He's talking about this ministry because they're coming out of Judaism. It's only been a little while since Christ has died, and Paul is not one of the people who is on the Emmaus Road, so after Christ's resurrection. So he doesn't see Jesus a couple of days after the resurrection. Matter of fact, by the time Paul comes along, it's been some years. And don't be so hard on the Jewish believers, because having grown up under the Pentateuch and having grown up under Jewish law, it's like me having sat in a church since I was had memory, and then all of a sudden when I get to the Church of the Living God or someone else who enlightens me or whatever church where you were saved, then if they're different, you have to reconcile with the differences.
Yeah, That's right.
And Paul had been in this all his life.
Yes.
And he was not only in it, but he was a student of it. He wasn't just someone who sat by. I mean, he had really been inculcated. I remember a long time ago in General Assembly when they were using the word inculcated. You had to become a part of it. He was really into Jewish life.
Yes.
And now you tell me that what I've been knowing all my life isn't right.
Right.
Well, they weren't trying to tell him that. They were trying to say that what you've been learning all your life has come to pass.
Yes.
Well, today is the acceptable day of the Lord.
Yes.
But he wanted to preserve his way with all his tenacity and everything that he had. He was determined that he was going to, being a good student of Gamaliel and of all the law, he was determined to do that. And with all ferocity, you know, you need to defend what you're in.
Yes.
Amen.
And Paul had made up his mind about that. And it comes down to Acts 26 chapter, and you can flip there for a moment. I'm going back to Corinthians, and I'll be almost through. And Paul says in Acts 26 chapter, when he meets Christ, here again, Acts is one of the longest books in the New Testament, but I can't find it. Looking in the wrong direction. Acts chapter 26. And he says in this, at 13, 26 and 13, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, or brighter than the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard the voice speaking unto me. And it calls his name. But the point that he makes is down in 17. Delivering them from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And in this verse, out of all the things that we do, our coming, our going, our every thing that God has given us, every sermon, every word, every operation, every gift, every miracle, every service, every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, among all the things that God has given us, every thing, that every blessing, spiritual, material, and otherwise, it comes down to Him working with us to deliver us from darkness to light.
Yes, yes.
And from the power of Satan unto God.
Yes.
Every one of our local churches, you are an entryway. The pastors, you are an entryway, because when people come into your church, they're coming from darkness to light.
Amen.
And they're coming to some place where they can be delivered from Satan, because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That means that, you know, we were born with sin in our DNA, and shaped in iniquity means that we are shaped by the way of the world.
Yes. Amen.
That's why we do what we do, say what we say, think what we think. And many of us, after the Lord has saved us and set us free from sin, it is that shaping and remolding that the Holy Ghost has to work in our soul life and in the way that we are, to change us into people that will not only be saved, but continue to stay saved. And people will have, in this last life, an inheritance with Him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why He says, come out from among them and be ye shepherds, said the Lord. You know, come out of the world. The world not being just bars and things like the world is bars. It is all those things. But there is so much more that's in the world.
Yes, yes.
It's a change of mind.
Yes.
It's a repentance.
Yes.
And it's something that every one of us has to do that can't be done collectively.
Yes.
And salvation, there's no group plan.
Yes.
It's all an individual effort.
Yes.
So that all the pastors that are here
We'll go back to Corinthians now in the fourth chapter. He says, seeing that we have this ministry, what ministry? To bring people from darkness to light. That's why Elder Baker, I was telling you this morning. He speaks about this and he says that if our gospel be hid, if it can't be seen, why isn't everyone saved? Because of what? The God of this world. When did he become the God of this world? In the garden.
Yes.
The God of this world. And we would do well to remember, too, that we are in the world system. Yes. In the world. And it isn't just the evil things that are part of the world, but the things that we absolutely need.
Yes.
Finances are all over the world.
Yes.
So they are?
Yes they are.
And every time you get money, get a blessing or whatever, every time you get a raise on your job or move or whatever, you have to say to yourself, how does this affect my life in God?
Yes.
And as your career goes forward, education and all those things we needed, we have to learn to read and write, but the education system is of the world. So how do you know, Bishop? Because it will not bring you to everlasting life. And as you grow more in education, you have to keep saying to yourself, and how does this affect my stand in God?
Yes. Amen.
Positions. Yes. And all the things that we pray for, that we absolutely have to have. Even when you ride down the car and ride down the street in your new car, you have to say to yourself, now, where does this affect my stand in God?
Yes, yes. Amen.
And I have to have money. You know, I can't pay my, you know, flower light just went up, and they will not receive faith as a payment. They don't care how much Holy Ghost I got when they send that bill.
They want money.
They want their money.
Yes.
And I'll be sitting there with my Holy Ghost sanctified self sitting in the dark.
Yes.
I'll have the light of the gospel, but I sure won't have the light of my house. But I have to say to myself, and the Lord blesses me, and the Lord has blessed me and Elder Smith. You just don't know. There are some people that the Lord blesses with a lot of money, and there's some of us that he seems to. Our money seems to be like fishes and loaves. We don't know, Elder Harris, how our money goes as far as it goes.
Yes.
We just somehow don't run out.
Yes.
Now, come, this has something to do with it. But the Lord.
Right. Yes.
I'm not telling you to write checks.
No, don't do that.
Your checkbook won't stretch.
It's of the world.
Yes.
And if you write bad checks, you're going to fall victim to it. And he says, in this, and I'm going back to Corinthians, that's why I can finish, because we have a lot to do. Saying that we have this ministry, since we have this ministry, we have talked about it. We've talked about being a mighty fortress. I've been in this way now. I've been in Church of Living God now since 1986. Bishop White, Elder Austin, Elder Butler, Bishop Edwards, not Elder Butler, Bishop Butler, and all of them, Elder Carolyn Taylor, and all of them, Minister Tapscott, all of them came to Germany a long, long time ago.
Yes.
And picked this up a long time ago.
Yes.
And back in 1998, we were talking, there's someone, Elder Philly was talking about, believe it or not, we consecrated 11 bishops.
Sure did.
Two are left, yes.
That's how many remain. But they're original there. Me and Bishop Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been up and we've been down, we've been sideways, we've been everything else where the organization has been. And yet, here we are.
Yes.
Back in 1989, when I was consecrated with Elder Deborah Sewell, I was consecrated with Elder Tom Kellett, Sister Shore, and one more, I can't remember who it was. But we've been around here ever since.
Yes.
He says this, and this ministry of Jesus Christ has not changed. The gospel of Jesus Christ has not changed. Seeing that we have this ministry, we faint not but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty and walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth. And the manifestation of the truth refers to when we speak the truth and preach the truth, the Holy Ghost moves. Commending ourselves to every man's conscience. And our conscience is the portion of us, of that faculty that we have, that tells us what is right and wrong before God. When it works right, it tells us what's right and wrong before God. That's why when the Lord saves us, the Holy Ghost has to come in and purge our conscience from all the moral things and the things we thought were right when we were in sin. He has to purge out all of those dead works so that when we contemplate things from that time forward, the Holy Ghost is able to show us what is right and wrong before God. Not what's right and wrong in the Senate, not what's right and wrong in wherever you want to talk about, but what's right and wrong before God. When my conscience works right, even if everybody in the room is against it, it works right. It says how God feels about it.
Yes.
Commending ourselves to every man's conscience, he says it. And then he says, because if our gospel is not received, if it's unknown, you're blind to it. It's because the God of this world, and this is where we come in, and I'm almost done. The God of this world has blinded the eyes and the minds of them, lest they receive the light. Come, let us walk in the light of the glorious gospel. Come, let us walk in the light. I love it because one of the first sermons Jesus preaches to them is in Matthew. And he tells them, when he preaches to them in Matthew, he says to them, he says, ye are the light of the world.
Yeah.
And he talks about them going out, talks about all the ways they are blessed and what they need. He says, ye are the light of the world.
Yes.
And he tells them, if you don't have light, if you've lost your salt, you know, he talks about us being the salt of it. He says, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, he says, the light that you have of the gospel is hidden.
Yes.
So that people can't see it.
Yes. Yeah.
If I'm jealous, it's hidden. If my enemy shows, it's hidden. If I'm corrupt in any way, it is hidden. He talks about this light of this glorious gospel, and this is what we're bringing. This is where pastors come in. When people come into your door, they're coming into the light. They're walking. You're walking in the light. You're drawing people to the light. You're doing what God told the Apostle Paul to do, to bring them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan's sin unto God. Why? So that they would have forgiveness of their sins, and so that they would have, so they would receive eternal life with Jesus Christ. That's the charge that you have today. Walk in the light. Everybody say glory to God.
Glory to God.
I want to say my little short prayer for them tonight. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we ask you to bless these pastors and people. Lead them and guide them.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Lord, thy will be done in them as it is in earth.
Yes.
Lord, we'll give you all the glory.
In the name of Jesus.